Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Keeping It Young, where Dave and Bethley share practical lessons from God's Word about marriage, family, and ministry life. They desire to encourage, edify, and equip you as you navigate these important matters in your own life. Is it cold where you are? I live about 2 hours inland from the coast of North Carolina. The weather here is just now getting pretty frigid. Someone came up with a cute little poem that said 'twas the night before Christmas and all through the house the AC was running because we live in the South. Some of you can't even imagine that living up in Siberia, can you? Well, let's join Dave and Bethley as they continue their study on how to have a happy life and a happy family as they start a new chapter in the Proverbs.
And we are enjoying Proverbs.
We are.
And learning so much from it. I had no idea how many things we could find in Proverbs.
Well, it does go to show that the old practice of reading through the Proverbs with your family over and over and over again, there was wisdom in that. Because yes. There is so much to be learned from the book of Proverbs. And I feel like we're just scratching the surface here with these highlights from these different chapters, but such good truth available even in those highlights.
Yes, and I know several people have reached out to me and said, hey, what commentaries are you using and so forth? And my first go-to in the book of Proverbs is the old writer, Matthew Henry.
Oh, yes.
And I just really love his practical simplicity and straightforwardness about how he looks at them. Then I go to a Bible app that has the definition of words, and I look up Hebrew words and examine those and just see the shades of meaning, the nuances of meaning that you find yes. in the Hebrew dictionary is just amazing. And having Bible apps today really help us to do that. So it's just a real blessing. So I don't know if there's, you know, a right or wrong out there. There's a ton of commentaries. We just have really enjoyed Matthew Henry's and use our Bible dictionary and things of that sort. So hope you're looking up some of these yourself and studying them. And I told you last week, if you were listening last week, that we were ready to jump into, we've got to emphasize our words, but I was wrong. That's actually next week.
He skipped over chapter 11, and we are going to be emphasizing this week from Proverbs yes. 11, teaching our children integrity.
We have to emphasize integrity if yes. we're going to have a happy family and a happy life.
Yes.
So righteousness so far, diligence so far, and now we're here.
God's blessings. Oh,
yes, God's blessings, and now here we are at integrity.
Integrity is so important.
Oh my goodness,
you want to be able to take someone at their word. You want to know that someone's going to be honest with you. You want to know someone's going to get the job done if you ask them to do it, if you're paying them to do it. Isn't it frustrating that there is a lack of integrity in our world today, in our culture, and you can't always just count on it? You can't just say, oh yeah, this will get done, because sometimes it doesn't. And what a blessing it is to deal with people who have integrity.
And you will know it.
Oh yes.
Absolutely. And it's so important in so many aspects of our life. And integrity is essential in your marriage. Integrity is essential in your children. It's essentially for your future in,
yes.
in work relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Integrity is just an essential element. So here's what Proverbs 11 says. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. And here we go. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. Now, he's talking here about integrity, dependability, trustworthiness, honesty,
yes.
and all of those factors that come together. And the Cambridge Online Dictionary, when you talk about character or when you talk about integrity, one of the things they say is it's the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles that one refuses to change.
Mm.
I liked that definition best of all the ones I found.
Yes.
And so I want to read that again. It's the quality of being honest It's the quality of having strong moral principles that one refuses to change. And I sat and I thought, okay, who in the Bible best illustrates that? And I came up with two right away. Joseph illustrates that.
Yes.
Because he was a slave in Potiphar's house in Egypt. His brothers had sold him into slavery. And yet, even though he had been done wrong, even though he didn't like where he was, even though this is not how he expected things to turn out, he could have absolutely thrown everything he believed away, all righteousness, all integrity, and just lived it up as a slave boy in that land with Potiphar's wife. He was favored already, and yet he refused to back down on his moral principles. That young man had phenomenal integrity, and as far as we can tell, was late teens, early 20s. Daniel was the same way. Daniel's entire life lays out for us a picture of integrity. And he refused, absolutely, absolutely refused to do wrong. And then he got his three friends to join him. We know him as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then it shows up again in chapter 3 because his three friends would not bow to the pagan idol that Nebuchadnezzar had made of himself and demanded they bow down to. And again in Daniel 6, when Daniel, as an older man now, prayed, even though praying likely meant he would be thrown in the lion's den and die. That is all a picture of integrity. What is integrity? It is an absolute honesty and a moral uprightness that we refuse to change.
And in Joseph and Daniel's examples, it's almost this fortitude to do right no matter how small the issue seems to be. Especially we can see in Daniel's life, the first thing, the first matter of integrity that we come up against, his character to say, you know what? Our law has said we should not eat that food. And so would it be okay if we just eat this food over here, this produce, these fruits and vegetables and all of the things that mean pulse in the King James Version of the Bible? What an amazing example of character and integrity there, because that seems like something that would not even matter. Here they are captives and they're being commanded to eat this food. You would think, well, probably most of those Hebrew captives said, well, I mean, what am I supposed to do? I am a prisoner. I have to eat whatever they give me. And okay, it's just food. But Daniel and his friends said, no, we absolutely cannot. And don't you know that that just built more character and integrity into their being? So their foundation was just, okay, I'm going to do right no matter how small the issue may be.
Integrity is taught. They obviously learned that somewhere. And it is also caught.
Yes.
We see it when we observe. And then integrity gets bigger. The more we live it, the stronger it gets.
Yes.
And so it becomes stronger. Proverbs begins here, this idea of a false balance being an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight being his delight. And what we find out as we study that is this is an old command. And it was an old command that actually was written by Moses, but reiterated in the book of Proverbs by Solomon. And you find it in Deuteronomy 25 and verses 13, 14, and 15. So listen to these verses.
The Bible says, thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house divers measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
There's so much to be said about that.
Yes.
First of all, he draws the point there that we should be the same in private that we are in public and the same public that we are in private. So if I am one way at home, but I go out into the world and I'm a dishonest businessman, and yet I come home and I want things to be well, it's not going to work that way. And the other side of that is true. You know, you've got to be right at home and right in public. You've got to be right in public and right at home. And that's God's idea of integrity. Integrity is when I'm the same in public and in private. I'm the same righteous person in public and in private. And I'm dependable and I'm honest and you can trust me. Proverbs 16:11. Let me look that one up here. Proverbs 16:11 has the same idea. And Solomon said it like this: a just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weight of the bag are his works. He reiterates the same idea. Let's see here in Proverbs 20 and what verse is that?
Proverbs 10.
20 and verse 10, when he says, divers weights, different weights, and divers measures, different, you know, and varied measures. Both of them are alike. Listen to this, abomination to the Lord.
Mm.
Integrity is so important to our God that when we don't have it, he absolutely hates it with the strongest word that you can find in the Authorized Version to describe the things God hates the most.
Wow.
That's a pretty big deal.
It is.
So emphasizing integrity is absolutely essential.
Right. So that what the book of Proverbs is literally saying, if you say you're going to sell a pound of rice, it better fully be a pound of rice. It better not be 3/4 of a pound of rice, because integrity matters.
And in Hosea, the minor prophet Hosea, in one of his references, he talks about a merchant that is not honest, has no integrity. And he says, he is a merchant. The balances of deceit are in his hand. He loveth to oppress. And so you find it yet again that the idea of integrity is absolutely important, which just reminds us, we, all of us, you that are listening, all of us, we have to teach our children to have integrity. And if integrity is honesty, we have to teach them to be honest, dependable, always yes. trustworthy. Mm-hmm. And for us, that was a spanking matter when our kids were younger.
Yes. Lying was not permitted or even put up with in our household for any little thing. Our children, we wanted them to learn to be honest about everything. Don't stretch the truth. Don't exaggerate your stories. And the great thing about having the 5 children is their siblings would call them out on, that is not how that happened. No, that didn't happen. You did not do that. And so they keep themselves accountable, which was awesome. But as far as, hey, what happened here? Did you do this? How did this come to be? Did you do all of your schoolwork? Did you finish the job? They had to be honest about that. And we wanted our children to learn integrity.
Yes. And Matthew Henry said, he is not an honest man that is not devout. He is not a godly man that is not honest. And so this is a matter of our faith, of our spirituality. Dishonest business dealings are always offensive to God. If you're listening and you're a businessman or a businesswoman, make sure that as a Christian that everything you do is done with the utmost integrity. And even a person who is not a believer but who has integrity is a person that can be respected and trusted.
Right.
Integrity brings trust. We can trust a person who has integrity. And when you build a business on integrity and it's based on this is the right thing, you make a mistake, but I'm going to take care of it because I have integrity. This is the right thing. If it costs me extra money to do the right thing because one of my employees made a mistake or because we just failed, I will go overboard to do the right thing. That is a matter of character and integrity. And it's something we have to live and something we have to teach our children if we're going to have a happy life and a happy family, right?
Yes. I would say even as a consumer, you need to have integrity and honesty. And all of these self-checkouts that they have these days, of course, you are on camera. They are watching you as you are scanning your things. And there have been times, though, that I have missed something in my cart. And so I get out to the car and I'm unloading all the bags of groceries and I'll find something little sitting in the bottom of the cart that did not get scanned. And it could be so easy to be like, oh, I'm in a hurry. This is just a couple of bucks. Walmart will never even miss it.
Right.
All of the billions of dollars they make every year from all of the groceries. But I cannot do that. I try to be a woman of integrity. And so I have marched right back in and I have said to the welcome person, I am so sorry. I missed this when I was scanning. I need to go back through and scan this and pay for this. And I even had one of the managers look at me in just disbelief. And she said, no one ever does that. I cannot believe you came back in just to purchase that. And I said, well, I can't do it. I can't just leave with this and not have integrity. So even as a consumer, you need to have integrity and honesty and teach that to your children. What a valuable lesson.
Absolutely. And it makes a world of difference. And those kind of lessons, when our children are aware that Bethley is willing to go back into a store to pay for something that costs, you know, 50 cents or $3.
Right.
It says to our children, this is a big deal. We mean this. And it is the truth. The Bible is teaching us very clearly here that it is an essential part of Christianity, integrity.
Yes.
And it's called integrity. Integrity may be as something as little as I take the shopping cart, since we're talking about Walmart, and I put it where it's supposed to be so that it's not going to, you know, go flying across the parking lot and hit a car.
Right. Or take up a parking space that someone with a white SUV in Pensacola, Florida may want to park in that parking place because you didn't put the cart back. Or I should say Pace, Florida. I don't go all the way to Pensacola.
Are we just testifying? To Walmart. Yes. This is, ladies and gentlemen, this
put
is getting
carts back, people.
This is getting deeply personal right here. Oh, my soul.
Well, this is your good friend Michael Barnett. The Youngs just discussed how to have a happy life and a happy family as they started in Proverbs 11. I hope you'll join us tomorrow for the continuation of this. If you'd like more information or would like to hear more of these edifying episodes of Keeping It Young, just visit keepingityoungpodcast.com. Today's program has been a production of Keeping It Young. So thanks for listening, and remember to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information, or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com.